you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Now, I usually say reading from, but this is the first verse I ever memorized, and I love to share it. So it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, capital H, and He will make your path straight, or He will guide you. The NIV rendering is, and He'll make your path straight. So the principle is that trust in the Lord. Oh, wow, that's just the beginning point, the framework of, you know, your faith journey, trusting in God. And you can trust in God. Oh, I'm going to introduce my special guest in just a moment. But I told him, I said, I just so love this verse. It's been used in my life for 40, 50 something years. It's the first one I ever memorized. But I love the concept. And so does my co-host today, Mike, who's returning from yesterday. He's being a part of Testimony Tuesday, Mike Hansen. But we were both saying we love this verse for a lot of reasons. And we both fondly think about it and look back at it and have it a part of our, I don't know if you'd say our daily walk, but oftentimes we reference it. But you can trust in God when you know His character, His goodness, who He is. So you can fully trust and surrender to Him because He's a good God and He's worthy of that. But when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not half of our heart or half-heartedly or just some of the time, but all of our heart, and lean not on our own understanding. Can I get a witness? How many of us, Mike, want to lean on our own understanding? Well, I went to college. I got this expertise. I can problem solve. And God's given us those gifts and abilities. He does want us to use our reason and think through things, but not to have that be our default, our own understanding. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways, not some of your ways, not some of the times, not on the weekends, not as you're driving to church, but in all your ways, all days, all times. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. He will iron out the rough edges. He will work through the situations or circumstances. Maybe it's going to be tough, but He's in the process refining your character or awakening your mind to different things or alternatives, or maybe seeing how you're being self-centered in such and such a instance, and He wants you to focus on others. I mean, whenever you give it to the Lord and trust in the Lord, He will work it out for your best interest. And maybe it doesn't mean that it's going to work out according to your plan. It's going to be His perfect plan. And so thank you, Mike, for reminding us. It's Testimony Tuesday. I guess I'm giving a little of my own testimony, but because it's one of your favorite verses, and those that were tuned in yesterday heard maybe my glowing introduction on how God united us together about 15 years ago on a trip to Israel. I cited it as one of my favorite trips for a lot of experiences, and I won't rehash all that, but that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Also at WLUJ.org. But Mike was our roommate for a special trip to Israel, and we got to know each other and prayed together and ate together and worshiped together and walked the Holy Land together. And it was a life-changing trip. And we had a very colorful group that I got to host and be involved with. And Mike, being my roommate at night, would stay up late with me as I would hash out things or problem solve or think through things or get his point of view. And God did some unique things on that trip, and I shared one or two instances yesterday, but He really knitted us together. And on this Testimony Tuesday, it's the privilege that I have to not only introduce you to one of my friends, but Mike is also very capable and gifted, has a lot of skill sets that God is using, as he's the executive director of BCM, Biblical Counseling Ministry. Now, I know you're based out of the Peoria area, but is the headquarters of the ministry, is it in another state? Tell us a little about BCM, Biblical Counseling Ministry, and then we're going to recap a little of what happened this past Thursday and then introduce some of your faith journey for our listeners.
Yeah, sounds good. The journey started with BCM, with me being a counselee. And I was struggling. We had some marriage challenges, and at the time, the church wasn't really sure what to do with it, so we went down the street, and it was a Christian counseling firm, and over about 10 years, the Bible only came out about 5 times, and I had a friend who said, you know, you really need a biblical counselor, And I thought I was going to a biblical counselor. So I had one meeting with this guy, and he brought out the Bible and started showing me in the Bible how it directly addresses some of my problems. And I was like, this makes so much sense. What am I doing? Do I really believe that God's word is sufficient? So I grew in that, and that led to, I had a business of 25 years, and I was starting to feel this tug in my heart because I didn't have the ability to go to both conferences every year because this biblical counselor invited me to go to a whole week-long biblical counseling conference in West Lafayette, Indiana. And that really grabbed my heart. And I'm like, this is really interesting. And then he told me about the certification. So you can go get ACBC certified, and that takes a number of years to do. So I did that. That didn't scratch the itch. And then by God's providence, some things, life-changing things happened, and it allowed me to actually get out of the business and go back to school. So here I was, midlife, going back to get a master's degree in biblical counseling at Masters. So finished that, and then that didn't scratch the itch. And so I believe I was led.
Or maybe it was scratching the itch, but it made it itch more.
It
so
did.
You were getting more and more hungry for this.
Yeah. The itch itched. And so I then, that's how Biblical Counseling Ministries birthed. It was created a 501c3. I was actually sent as a regional missionary from my church to start this. And honestly, I thought it was just going to be me running around helping people. And at that point in time, this was 6 years ago now when it birthed, I thought I was just going to help churches kind of build a biblical counseling ministry. And what's happened is that God's brought other people to the ministry. And now when we come in a church, these pastors that we serve, they're helping us see that, no, really what you're doing is you're helping us develop and strengthen our culture of biblical counseling. And what I mean specifically by that is being a church of biblical counselors, not a church with a counseling ministry. And they're very distinctly different. And I'm just so thrilled about some of these pastors that we're getting to meet that they're really excited about that. That's what they want. And sometimes this whole area of counseling, they're just not sure how to bring that into the church. So that's a long-winded answer to your question, but BCM is really passionate and it exists to glorify God and to help churches develop a culture of biblical counseling and what we call, we want to help bring soul care back to the local church.
And for those of you with inquiring minds that need to know more, bcmnational.org, bcmnational.org. And this past Thursday, you were our speaker at our Ministry Leaders Network. And it was interesting because I've had many speakers over the past year, and you could kind of hear a pin drop as you were sharing. You gave some great insights and information, and you were really encouraging the pastors because most of them are overworked. There's so many expectations and demands on their time. They can't do everything. Or the things that they do, they feel like they can't put their whole heart in because they have to prepare for a wedding or a funeral or the sermon prep or IT duties or working with their staff or all the myriad of things, you know, hospital visits. I mean, no other career demands that many different things that they have to be proficient in. And then when it comes to counseling, which can be very emotionally draining and such, what I liked is that you were sharing that your ministry will come in and train and equip maybe some of the lay people or maybe some of the other staff to take on this burden or this role to love on these people and to provide this service so that they can stay in the church and it can remain something that the church offers the community instead of going and paying for the professional and such. And so you really painted the picture of the unique role that the church can play for not only their own members, but for the community so that it can be a safe haven for people to come and to be counseled, but not just be counseled because they're gifted at counseling people, but because the Bible is the framework. It's biblical counseling. It's right from the Word of God. And so maybe take somebody through what would they need to do to maybe go to their pastor and say, hey, I'm interested in supporting you, or I have some background from college, but I want to know about biblical counseling, or how can I maybe assist and do this in our church? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you train that? How would somebody listening say, I'm intrigued by this concept?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. Yeah, because the BCM website is really geared towards speaking to that pastor. So that's the location for the pastor. But for people, the way you asked, that have some interest and maybe even have had people kind of affirm some giftings in this, there's a couple websites that I would suggest. Mm-hmm. And one of them is biblicalcounseling.com. And that is the national organization that's a certifying agency, and it's called the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And it's incredible, and it's growing, and it's probably the most well-known around the country.
And what's that website again?
BiblicalCounseling.com.
Okay, BiblicalCounseling.com, okay.
That's the ACBC site, and what that's going to show people is what is the certification process. Because they could do that themselves, and then I would encourage them to talk to their pastor about that. And this is often how it starts. It's someone saying, you know, I really feel like this is happening naturally already, and I just heard about the certification, and I really would like to do this more in the church. This is the best place, in my opinion, to become certified. So, yeah, I think opening up dialogue with their elders and their pastors and saying, hey, pastor, let's talk about biblical counseling. What's your philosophies? What is your understanding? What do you know? Is this one of your passions they have in the church? God's kind of tugging my heart on this. That can be one way. I would think the most powerful way, though, in my opinion, is when that senior pastor gets really excited about this. Mm-hmm. And that senior pastor says, you know, I really want to see us having a church of biblical counselors that we're practicing the one another's. And that's just being obedient to God's commands. So much of counseling can be done biblically within the context of the church and small groups and Bible studies. I mean, that should just be how we do life together. Like, we should be sharing the realities of the problems and the brokennesses of our life with each other. And we then should not be the counselors that Job had. They started well. They listened. They love on him. They hung out. And I think that's actually one of the bad raps of biblical counseling, because honestly, where it started, it really was a little bit more Bible thumping and, you know, sin hunting. I think the movement is really grown tremendously to also know how to help the sufferer. Maybe they're just being sinned against. And the last thing those people need is to feel like they're being judged or anything. They need love, and they also need a lot of hope. We all need hope.
Yeah, yesterday you mentioned this concept, and I know Marianne's eyes lit up when you talked about practicing the one in others, you know, and that biblical mandate, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the loving the others, right?
Yeah. I think so much of the body of Christ is very uncomfortable when someone comes forth with something that seems really heavy. Like, almost then we start saying in our own hearts, like, what do I do with this? And too often the answer is, well, you need to go down the street to this professional for that, or even you need to talk to my pastor. When the truth of it is, if we believe in God's word being sufficient and the real counselor is the Holy Spirit, really what we need to do is just listen well, love, and then bring them to the scripture, but then get out of the way and let the real Holy Spirit, the real wonderful counselor, take over. And that's when hearts are changed. We can't humanly do that. And one of the most incredible parts of this ministry is sitting in the front row and watching God change a heart right in front of you.
All right. So if somebody wants to find out more, there's a stirring in a pastor's heart that could get excited about this concept or equipping some of the members to take on this role so he or she isn't having to do all the counseling, they can go to bcmnational.org. bcmnational.org and find out more information. And with me in the studio today is my dear friend and I guess co-laborer on a trip to Israel together. It was kind of fun to have Mike Hansen a part of that group and to connect again more recently with your son going to U of I and getting a job here locally. So maybe I'm going to see more of you. But I was fascinated at how you just shared with the pastors and they were taking in the information and, you know, the importance of us sharing and pouring into each other's lives and how the pastor can't do all that. And so this, I think, is something that can be embraced not only by the senior pastor, but by maybe some congregants or some members of the church that want to take on the role and be trained and be certified and be qualified to be used of God to bring healing and hope. Well, you've been on a faith journey for a number of years, and with it being Testimony Tuesday, can you give us kind of that snapshot into when you came to know the Lord and maybe some of the stages along the way? Because some of us come to Christ at an early age, but then there's either back steps. I love that book. I think it's way out of print, probably from about 30 years, but it was 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. And it was kind of like sanctification. It's a process. It doesn't mean that when we come to Christ, we never sin again or fall short or problems don't exist, that there are stages where we move forward and there's times that we fall back or mess up and recommit our lives and surrender maybe more fully. But tell us some of your faith journey.
Yeah. Yeah, so I grew up in Chicago, grew up in a church that was very much focused on works and what I needed to do. Moved to Peoria and started attending a church, actually Grace Presbyterian, Dr. Bruce Dunn, who's probably a familiar name in the region to a lot of people. He had a radio ministry too. And all I wanted to do at that point in time is start a business and make a bunch of money. You know, that was it. But I thought I was pretty good. And I started listening and attending that church. And I'm reading books by Dale Carnegie, How to Make Friends and Influence People. And he's talking about heaven and hell and how I have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and God or I'm going to hell. And I was, for multiple times, I would leave those church services and saying, can't he ever be positive? Like, why does he have to do this? Of course, the truth was God was chiseling on my heart and drawing me to him. So that's kind of where it started. And I'll never forget, it was a weekend conference, brought in an ex-Dallas Cowboy football player, David Simmons. He had a ministry called Dad the Family Shepherd. And I know this isn't for everybody. For me, I knew exactly where I was, when it happened, when I received Christ as Lord and Savior. And I really connected with that guy because I grew up in athletics and played baseball at Illinois here. And yeah, so his story just resonated with me. And God used his story to draw me and accept Christ that day. So that was the beginning.
Was that Dr. Bruce Dunn's church?
Yes.
And did you know he retired and lived across the river from me, Dr. Bruce Dunn?
I did not.
And he's the one that sent me up to Moody to start this radio ministry.
Wow.
Oh, he was a dear friend and father figure. He used to all the time, it's in the book.
Yeah.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible.
Yeah.
He was old-time preaching.
Yes, he was.
He was great.
And God used that in my life, and I didn't like it. And it was God knew exactly that's what I needed. So it got me irritated to a place where I'm like, I got to get serious about this. What does this mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus? And what does that mean to be saved? Because I thought I had all that put together. And actually, and this is kind of ironic looking back now, that was 1990 when I received Christ and accepted the Lord, and moved to Peoria in 1988. And I'll never forget this because this is what God used. And it's so in God's interesting creativity as I think about what I'm doing now. And I rewind all the way back to 1988. The three words that God used to get my attention, in addition, of course, to Dr. Dunn. But what really got me is somebody said, because we were having some marriage conflict right out of the gates, and what this person said, and we were non-believers, got married as non-believers in the church, and this person said, you need a Christian marriage counselor. And I was so offended at that. And the reason being is because I thought I was Christian. Hey, I'm a good guy, go to church, you know, I haven't killed people. And I thought we had a pretty good marriage. I just bought her a new car, and we were going to build a house, and I was making a bunch of money right out of the gates at a young age. And I was a financial planner, so I thought I was a counselor. But it was those three words that God used to totally flip my world over. Like, I spun. People didn't know it, but at that point, I was just like, my life, I don't even know what's going on. And I was on this silent looking around, like, what is a Christian? And what does this really mean? And what's this stuff Dr. Dunn's talking about? And anyways, it was kind of funny that now here, you know, 30 plus years, 40 years later, I'm leading a biblical counseling ministry.
It's one of those God's divine sense of humor.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to be heading towards, but I'm nurturing you now. Just watch and see.
Yeah, and he's patient, you know, and he's in no hurry, and he knew that I needed a lot of sanctification and pain over a period of years to be able to even have any kind of a heart to minister to hurting people or even sinful people. I had a really hard situation this week that I was a lead counselor for, and it was just so sad. They're like 65 years old. They've been married a year, and it is just terrible. And the poor husband, who actually became a new believer through the counseling process. That's another beautiful part of the counseling ministry. I call it church growth through the back door. And he received Christ and became a new believer through the counseling that we were doing. But her heart, it was so hardened, is so hardened that sadly, you know, it's not really working. But counseling can be evangelistic. It's a wonderful, and it wouldn't it be beautiful if people around the community first thought of the church when they're hurting or need help to go to the church to get counseling. That's what I dream of.
Yeah, and the indictment, if you will, on the church is, oh, they just point out we're sinners, damned to hell or whatever, and they don't sense that they're caring, compassionate, that they're loving God. And certainly we never want to compromise righteousness or endorse sin. Yet on the other hand, who was drawn to Jesus? And I always think it had to be his eyes or his temperament or his disposition or just his expression that Jesus, who never compromised on being holy, never embraced sin, and yet sinners were drawn to him. So he had that perfect balance of exuding love, if you will, or maybe it was the compassionate look that he would give to people to say, hey, yeah, you're in sin, the woman at the well, or the different situations, and yet I love you, I care for you. And so wouldn't it be wonderful if we as the church could be more like that?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not meeting people with judgment, because we're meeting people with balancing somehow by God's grace, truth and love. We're not going to avoid the truth, but boy, we need a lot of love and grace, because that's what we all need, even as his children.
Well, Mike, thanks for joining me for yesterday and today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, sharing some of your faith journey. And if you're maybe a little intrigued, or you're a pastor and you want to know more about biblical counseling, stop by bcmnational.org. bcmnational.org. Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for joining me. And we'll have to have you back in the coming days on some other topic. I love spending time with you and appreciate your ministry and how God's working in and through you this very day.
Love you, Mark.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Mike Hansen with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Are we teaching the truth in a love? Telling it like it is, while holding pure motives and showing that we care. Are we teaching the truth in love? Oh, a man came to my Jesus, telling all that he had done to fulfill the good commandments. He knew every single one. Jesus said there's something that indeed he did lack. Yes, the Savior told the truth. He didn't hold the message back, 'cause he was teaching the truth in love, telling it like it is, while holding pure motives and showing that he cared. He was teaching.